I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to the First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon, and joining me as always is my co-host and good friend, Ryan Roberts, NFL draft analyst as well, at Rise and Draft on Twitter, at Joe DeLeon. Folks, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on any of our other preparation for the 2024 NFL draft. Now, today, we're doing our next team preview. We've knocked out a couple of these. Today, we're doing the New England Patriots. This is a team that is close to the heart for me, not because I'm a Patriots fan, but because I played college football in the New England region, spent way too much time listening to Patriots fans just bicker, unbelievably bicker so much about the success that they were having. And now we get to listen to them bicker about the lack of success. I say that in jest. They're in a position now with a new head coach in Gerard Mayo where they need to figure out the direction of their team. Do they take a quarterback with their top three pick? Do they decide to go in a different direction? Do they trade back? We're going to talk about that all today. Ryan, their draft selections, pretty standard. This might be one of the most blasé, just draft pick groupings that we could possibly talk about because they've got all of their picks 1 through 6, no extra ones, and then they've got a pick in the 7th round from the Chicago Bears. That's the extent of it. There's no extra 3rd or extra 4th or anything. Right. There's nothing to analyze from that. But I think that the general sentiment here is that they have to take advantage of any opportunity to maybe accrue some additional picks because this roster is pretty barren. And it sounds like from what we heard when we were in Indianapolis, that they view this as a multi-year project in order to inject some more talent into this roster.
And I think that they're actually not in a terrible situation to do that, Joe. I mean, because I look at this roster and, I mean, what we heard in Indianapolis was that they like the defensive talent they have, right? And, I mean, there's a lot of it. I mean, you talk about Matthew Judon. You talk about Christian Barmore. You have Christian Gonzalez, who was playing very well before he got injured as a rookie. I mean, there is some stalwarts on this defense. Obviously, Gerard Mayo is a defensive guy as well, was running that defense previously. So I think there's a lot to like defensively, but offensively, man, it's barren. Like, I mean, we'll talk about it, right? But like wide receiver is a huge need. Offensive line, offensive tackle is a huge need. Quarterback is a huge need. There's a lot of big needs on this team potentially moving forward. But I would say it like this is that I agree. You know, New England Patriots. Sorry, you know who I cover every single day. I'm sorry. Who I cover every single day. New England Patriots are in a position where you need to be able to get on and get and acquire as much draft capital as possible. Because this is a team that with a new coach coming in, a familiar coach too. So it's not like this is a brand new guy to the general manager, to the ownership. Like who the heck is Gerard Mayo? Like they know Gerard Mayo very well at this point. And they know that he is going to get a window to rebuild this franchise because it has been in a bad place the last couple years. Number 3 overall, biggest point of like, hey, two quarterbacks go off 1 and 2 to the Chicago Bears and the Washington Commanders. Number 3 is a huge jockeying point to potentially trade back for a team that desperately wants to get up and get a quarterback. And I would argue, my opinion, I don't think New England is in a window right now where drafting a young quarterback is in their best interest. Because I look at this roster and say, by the time your roster is ready to compete, you're probably going to have to be in a position where you might have to give a young quarterback a big second contract. And if that happens, then that's less ammunition to put around a still young quarterback to give him wide receivers, offensive line, a great defense. Those you know, that help around him. So that number 3 is a big jockeying point in this draft because I do think that the Patriots need extra draft capital. And I don't necessarily think that they need to force a quarterback at number 3 if it's not a guy they love.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. Bet online, where the game starts.
So I think that you really just painted my whole perspective on this whole thing very well right there. I think that, and again, from stuff that we talked about with folks when we were in Indianapolis, their understanding of this having to be a three-year window. And typically, I think most head coaches are going to get that grace of a three-year window as long as there are some signs of progression and positive play. So I think that if you're Jerod Mayo and you go out there and the defense still plays really hard, really well, they end up being in the top 15, let's say. That to me is a sign of, all right, Jerod Mayo has the identity of this team figured out. They're still going to be really good defensively. They brought back a lot of the same pieces that were going to be impending free agents. A lot of those guys are coming back and on relatively affordable deals. As long as the defensive identity still shows that promise, I think that Jerod Mayo is going to continually buy himself some additional time. Now, what you're bringing up here is very important. I don't like the idea of the Patriots taking a quarterback, especially specifically because of what we just saw happen with the last guy that was there. Now, you and I were not the biggest fans of Mac Jones as a prospect. We didn't really think that he was going to pan out. But more importantly, he was a guy that needed to go to a situation where everything was built around him. If he was on the 49ers, he would have been actually the perfect pick for the 49ers because he's somebody who probably would have flourished with everything settled around him. But because he was on a team where he was really it, they didn't have any receivers, their offensive line was inconsistent, he floundered. He struggled. Mm-hmm. He was thrown into the fire and then spit out before he could really figure himself out. Maybe it's possible Mac Jones figures out his career at some point. I say all this to say that don't make the same mistake twice. It helps that they signed Jacoby Brissett and that you could theoretically take Drake May at 3 and that you could sit him the whole year. Don't put him out there and hope that he's going to just figure it out and play great because he's probably going to get chewed up and spit out just like Mac Jones did. Use the opportunity that there is going to be a lot of desperation based on what we've heard and what we keep seeing, that the NFL does really not love the quarterback class after J.J. McCarthy. Let somebody get juiced up to trade up and go get Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, and you reap the rewards of having multiple first-round picks potentially because somebody is coming from the teens into the top 5.
Can I put out a simplistic take, Joe, and you agree? You can agree with it or you can disagree with it, okay? Let's just take it this far. It's very easy for me, right? It's very easy. If there's a guy at 3 there staring in the face that you love as a quarterback, you take him. If there's a guy you like or don't like at all, you don't take him. I mean, just very simply, right? It's very simple. But Joe, we've seen that situation, though, where a team is a quarterback needy team and there's a guy they like, right? But like isn't love. Like isn't infatuated with. I think that in order for you to take a quarterback at 3, there has to be a guy that you are just head over heels for. A guy that you're like, yep, that's a dude, man. That guy can be a part of the solution long term for us, right? You need that guy to be on the board. If you're standing there, and let's say Jaden Daniels goes number 2, just on hypothetical, after Caleb Williams. If Drake May's there, and if New England looks at Drake May and says, like, we like him, but we don't love him, then don't take him. Just flat out, don't take him. You are not in a position
easier said
from a
than
roster
done.
Perspective. I know it is, but you're in a position from a roster perspective with a coach in his first year coming up as a head coach for the New England Patriots that understands that you're not going to completely turn around this offensive roster in one offseason. You're not going to do it. They did a great thing in locking up Michael Onwenu, who's a very good offensive lineman for them, right? And there are probably another 1 to 2 offensive players right now that could be part of the solution long term. But outside of that, this offensive roster stinks. I mean, like, it's just a really bad roster. Joe, right now, projected, according to our lads, the wide receiver room starters, KJ Osborne, Kendrick Bourne, DeMario Douglas is your starting wide receiver unit. You also have Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyquan Thornton, and Jalen Reagor. Like, does anybody there?
That's a lot of first rounders on that.
Does
that you just
anybody
named
in that group elicit excitement? Does anybody do it? I don't think so, right? Wide receiver is a massive need. Right now, you're starting offensive tackle, left tackle going into next year is Connor McDermott. You can upgrade left tackle. You can upgrade wide receiver. This is a roster that needs help and it needs pickup. And I just don't think plugging a really talented young quarterback into this team that maybe you don't love is the solution. I just don't think it is.
Okay, so before we talk some of the other names at some of these other positions that they could get at, if we're talking other positions, we would be obviously talking about guys that they would be picking in the teens. So we'll talk about that in a second, as well as guys that they can get at pick 34, 68 that make some nice sense for them. But just to address, if they go quarterback, it's a bit of a weird discussion because they have to make the decision on who goes ahead of them, who the Commanders realistically take. I don't think that J.J. McCarthy is on their radar or should be on their radar whatsoever. He is the worst possible decision for them at quarterback because he is a multi-year sit type of a guy. And I think that you could eventually get him in there. And even if the roster is still getting figured out, he is not the type of guy that you want to be, let's figure this out with.
Yeah.
I think with all that being said, I like the idea of Drake more than I like Jaden Daniels. We have said on here that Jaden Daniels is the more ready to play player and would be a better fit with the Commanders. I think that you throw Jaden Daniels into a situation where the offensive line's still getting figured out, a player who's notorious for not knowing how to protect his body as effectively as he could. He tends to run headfirst into walls that lead to some big hits. And while he survived that in college, that's not going to realistically work in the NFL with guys that are bigger, stronger, and faster. It kind of gives me vibes of RG3 on the Commanders back when he was picked when he was. So I don't want to recreate that where he goes and he gets banged up really early. I like the idea of Drake May a little bit more because you take him, if you really like him, you sit him, you let him just kind of learn behind Jacoby Brissett, who's been there for multiple years before. You learn the culture, you learn what it's like to be a New England Patriot. And then in year two is the time that you make that transition after you've been aggressive in your next free agency and you were aggressive in this draft and finding some pieces.
First and foremost, Robert Griffin was not drafted by the Commanders. He was drafted by the Redskins.
Washington.
I'm being a dick. I'm sorry. The Washington franchise.
I'm going to cancel it over here by saying that word on here, Ryan.
I mean, that was the team that drafted him. I didn't say that they should have kept the name. I'm just saying that was the team that drafted him.
I'm just joking.
Anyway, to your point, though, I agree with it 1,000,000%, and I don't agree with you a lot on this show, like rarely ever,
because you're usually wrong.
But I think that this has to be New England. The only way that New England drafts a quarterback, in my opinion, is that it's Drake May. Only way. Because I look at Jaden Daniels and I say, I think Jaden Daniels could be more of a quick fix than Drake May can be with his athleticism and the fact that he's 24 years old comparative to 21-year-old Drake May, right? Like he might be a little bit more mature and ready to be able to assume that role for a potential team. But I don't think New England's in the window offensively where they just need a quick fix at quarterback to be a little bit of a band-aid and to grow. I think that if you're going to go quarterback at 3, if I'm New England, I'm taking the younger prospect that might have to fight through some hills and valleys and a lot of times early on in his career, but it will be better for him in the long term because he'll be able to get out on the other side of being, have a little baptism by fire. So Drake May, I think, is the only way that I even entertain a spot at 3 to draft a quarterback. I'm not entertaining J.J. McCarthy. We've talked about that ad nauseum on the show. Jaden Daniels, I really like Jaden Daniels, but Jaden Daniels is 24 years old. He is a lot closer to his ceiling than where Drake May is, for instance, right? So I'm going to take the younger guy that I can build with long-term a little bit more in a Drake May because of the age, because of the uphill battle that he'll have, but ultimately he could come out on the other side. So if we're entertaining quarterback, Drake May is the only guy I would entertain in this situation.
Now in the event that they say they swap picks with the Minnesota Vikings, that puts them at 11. There's other potential candidates though that they could swap and trade back with that are in the teens, whether it's the Broncos, whether it's the Raiders, there's maybe even the Saints. That, like, that's a team that hasn't even really been brought up as a team that could trade up and go get a quarterback. There's a lot of available options. I personally think that their best direction is going to be picking an offensive tackle, the best offensive tackle available with that first pick, and then taking advantage of the depth at the receiver position in the later rounds of this draft. I think that if you're the Patriots, I'm double dipping as well at receiver. I'm taking one in the second or third round, and then I'm taking one in the fifth or sixth round with a later, day three option that's a little bit more of a sleeper, whatever it might be. But I like this idea of go and get Olufashanu, go and get Amarius Mims, go get one of these premier, if Talese Fuaga is still on the board, go and grab one of those guys. And then you come back in the second round and you can get Xavier Leggett, you can get Troy Franklin, you can get Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall, Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan. We could sit here and name a million names that I think would inject a lot more explosiveness into this receiver room and a little bit more optimism and positive outlook if they took one of those guys on day two. They don't necessarily need to secure a Roma Dunze at that 11 pick.
Could you imagine if they were able to convince the Vikings to trade up and give them 11-23 and then whatever the hell, what else that they can fetch in that draft? Like that would be so ideal because it fits perfectly into your strategy. Because at 11, there's going to be a couple of those offensive linemen that are still available because there's going to be an early run on quarterbacks. There might be an early run on some wide receivers as well. Yeah, there's going to be an offensive lineman or two in the top 10 like there always is. But you just need one surprise, right? A corner going in the top 11 picks, another position kind of sneaking up in there to sit on the board with an Olu staring you in the face out of Penn State or an Amarius Mims, to your point. I think that the tricky part, though, is that one thing you'll have to consider is that I think if you go offensive tackle with that first pick, you have to really find a left tackle moving forward, right? Because Michael Onwenu has played between tackle and guard, but if he's going to play tackle, he's a right tackle. He's not a left tackle in the next level. So you need to be sure that Amarius Mims can play left tackle. Olu obviously has played left tackle. If a Joe Alt falls for some reason, I don't know what that reason would be, then that would be a guy on the board. I'm not sure, and apparently it's Talese Fuaga is how you pronounce it, Joe. Apparently we've been pronouncing
Talese,
it wrong for months.
Yeah.
Talese Fuaga. But if Fuaga's there, that's a very fascinating one because I love Fuaga as a football player. Do I think he's worthy of the 11th overall pick in the draft? I do. But the one part about him is that he is probably a true right tackle in this class, right? I don't know if he could play left tackle. So he might be a little bit of a clunky pick. But ultimately, best offensive lineman available with the first pick that you have in that first round after you trade back. And then I agree with you, wide receiver being the next pick. But you need to make sure that you get a little bit of size at wide receiver is a spot that I would like to be because you have a lot of smaller receivers on this roster for the most part. You know, I mentioned like Tyquan Thornton and
DeMario Douglas and
DeMario Douglas Bourne. Is super small. They call him like Pop Douglas.
5'8".
Yeah. Kendrick Bourne's more of like a slot Z type receiver. That's a little bit of a thinner framed guy as well. Like you don't have a ton of size in this wide receiver room right now. I know you have a good tight end in Hunter Henry, who's obviously brings that size profile that you want, but as a guy that can play outside and brings tremendous, you know, just outside potential as a true X receiver. Like my ideal situation was be you're at 11, you get the best offensive tackle available. And then at 23, if you trade back with the Vikings, then you get like a Keon Coleman, for instance, right? Where you're just like that.
Yeah, that's a good,
I can work with that scenario, but I think you need a little bit of size at receiver. You need to make sure you get a true left tackle in this draft as well.
I'm smiling at this quick thought that, of course, Ladd McConkey needs to be on their radar. I know Bill Belichick's gone, but he's still there in spirit. Ladd McConkey in the second round would be the perfect pick to be a New England Patriot. Quick final thought here before we wrap up. I think if defensively, if they went in any directions, because they did make some investments last draft in, they drafted Christian Gonzalez, who coming back is, has high expectations. Keon White was a second round pick for them who I think that they, they've already invested in edge. For me, I would look for them to draft either a linebacker, an inside linebacker, defensive tackles are the positions that kind of stand out to me because I feel like their secondary is better than people really think it is, but you could also take advantage of the opportunity to add some depth.
Yeah, I mean, the secondary is in a good spot. I mean, I'm looking at Jabril Peppers, obviously. I know they transitional tagged Kyle Duggar, right? Wasn't that what it is? So they still have him technically on the roster. Christian Gonzalez that you mentioned, Marcus Jones, the young nickel out of Houston that came out 2 years ago at this point. I mean, you do have a very solid secondary. I think just getting a little bit more dynamic on the second level would be an interesting one, because like Jawan Bentley is a really solid middle linebacker, but he's not a movement based guy. You got Sione Takitaki that was over with the Cleveland Browns as well. Jelani Tavai, they're kind of all a little bit of similar as far as like they are true more downhill type players. So maybe if you want to get a little bit more of a versatile piece on the second level, that could be something that could be
like
a very
Junior Colson investment. Feels like a New England Patriot.
Junior Colson. Oh yeah, he does. Yeah, yeah, he does. He absolutely does. He does. You're right. I actually have not.
No analysis. That just yes.
I haven't made that parallel before, Joe. I've never thought about Junior Colson with the New England Patriots, but yeah, I could definitely see him. I mean, he is a versatile weapon that I think what did I say when we did our linebacker show? That's one of the few linebackers in this draft that I say could play Mike with his size profile, could play Will because he has good pursuit speed, and could play Sam because he could rush off the edge a little bit and be a versatile weapon. So that versatility that New England has always valued on their first and second level, absolutely. I also think getting another interior defensive lineman would not be a terrible investment at some point in this draft, because you do have Christian Barmore, who I think is a really good young piece on the interior, but you have like Devon Gottschall, who's a solid little player, but like you don't have a ton of true interior defensive line presence outside of Christian Barmore, guys that can maybe create a little bit more penetration. So, you know, maybe even if you dip somewhere in this draft for a guy that's a little bit more of a penetration based guy to go along with Barmore, I think that could be some potential as well.
It's good enough to wrap us up on. Folks, let us know in the comments, what do you think? If you're a Patriots fan, who do you want them to take? Do you want them to trade back? Let us know in the comments, and make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, and then follow us on Twitter at the First Team Pod, at Joe DeLeon, at Rising Draft. We'll be back. Enjoy the rest of your week.